Good morning, everyone. This is Gary Kay, and you're listening to a special edition of my Rants and Raves podcast. I have a guest today, Andrew Starks, who's the Director of Product Management for Macnica America. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, Gary.
Macnica made a big splash at ISE. It just seems like so long ago, but it wasn't actually that long ago, a couple months ago, because you're part of the AIMS Alliance in the IPMX standard, our proposed standard, for AV over IP based on the SMPTE 2110 standard used in broadcast. And the idea behind that, correct me if I'm wrong, is to provide a platform that could become a standard for Pro AV installs that also manages video routing and distribution and sending signals across the network that is HDCP compliant, which SMPTE 2110 in its normal platform for broadcast is giant bandwidth, but doesn't require HDCP compliance.
That's or compression, right? Any of those goodies that the Pro AV industry needs.
Yeah, we need compression. We can't do 40 gigahertz network for 40 gigabit network. We can't do we can do 10, we can do 1. Of course, 1, a lot of people prefer to do 1 because it's a lot less bandwidth, and that's what IPMX has done. And by the way, if you're listening to this, you want to understand what the IPMX standard is and who the AIMS Alliance is, go to AIMSalliance.org. Macnica is you're an adopter, or are you, what are you considered?
We're a member of the AIMS, as well as a number of other organizations that make the standards. AIMS is more of the kind of marketing and public side of it, whereas organizations like AMWA SMPTE, those are the standards and specifications. Those are the people that write those parts of it, the more technical bits. So
yeah, and so tell me, it's now been a couple of months. Obviously, we have COVID-19, which has basically thrown a wrench in everything. But but you had a lot of momentum after the show.
Oh yeah. Well, we learned a lot too. The momentum was great. What we learned is that there are no shortage of potential customers out there that want to latch on to this idea. We are kind of overwhelmed with orders for our development kits, and COVID-19 is not only affecting us, but of course it's been affecting China, and so everything there has been just kind of creating a lot of pent up demand for it. But the other thing that we really learned is that the manufacturers, they like the technology, they like the 1 gig, they like the quality at 1 gig, they like that it's right in there with what you need for KVM, where you're not like constantly aware that you're sort of looking at your spreadsheet through a video screen. Mm-hmm. They like that, but the interoperability part of it is been kind of a mixed, more guarded message. With the integrators and users, it just couldn't have been more well received. There was just a very strong sort of, where do I sign up kind of attitude about, wanting to see an open standard, and especially with the integrators. That was really clear.
Having had some experience in this industry, I almost feel like to get really big momentum, you're going to need Crestron, AMX, or Extron, or all three of them. Mm-hmm. To adopt it as well. Can you tell me about what your feelings are on that and
where
you see that?
I mean, what I've sort of heard through the grapevine and heard kind of off the cuff is that they're never going to like come out and say yes to open standards, because any kind of advantage they would get from it would be very short-lived, and the potential that it wouldn't go anywhere or that they get beat up by something else is, not zero. And so they're going to kind of come out with anything with a sort of wait and see attitude, especially when it comes to open standards. But I don't think that the growth, or I don't think it's really going to emerge from there. I think you're absolutely right that it's not really real until one of those three does it, but I don't think that's where it's going to emerge from, because the people that really need it to happen are the integrators and and a lot of the smaller guys that aren't going to like spool up their own platform. They're not really looking to innovate at the transport level. They more need something reliable that works, and then they're going to innovate on more of the like the ecosystem level. And that's kind of where I see, a lot more potential, smaller players with less to lose from the way it works now.
So basically what I think I'm hearing you say is that what needs to happen is that Ames needs to convince the customers, i.e. this case, the integrators, that this is the best way to go, which would drive adoption from those other companies. Yeah.
You've got it.
I tend to agree with you. And you, so you make a chip, and talk about that because you've put everything onto a chip.
Yeah. Well, we make a ME10 chip, which is it's a system on a chip. So it adds a whole software stack that has a web server and all that in it. And then on top of that, it has our own specialized IP that is basically an accelerated NIC card that lets us, in a very low power device, give you 4K 60 444 video over 1 gig using the IPMX stack. So that includes the RESTful API for discovery and registration, and then that also includes the timing mechanism for keeping things kind of in sync, and all that, plus a web interface to configure it and use it. So this little system on a chip is designed for people that are making AV over IP gateway devices, or they're putting IP video IO onto their, you know, say display device or their playback device or encoder device, that sort of thing. Multi-viewers, that sort of thing. That's another market for this. So basically it's one of the you know, necessary building blocks of any kind of AV over IP system is interacting with HDMI and building those kind of gateway devices.
Have you seen a lot of the adopters of like SDVOE interested in this?
Well, I mean, SDVOE has, you know, a technology, an alternate technology, and mm-hmm. really the way, you know, we look at it, or what, you know, the way I seen it is that always when you have a new technology like this, you're going to have like the proprietary market kind of enter in first, because getting there quickly, getting there with something that works and that provides a level of interoperability is critical. And SDVOE has been, you know, one of the more successful versions of that. You know, obviously HD based T is a version of that, even though it's not IP, but it's been extremely successful and has been at the heart of a lot of successful systems and happy customers and all that. And SDVOE is no different than that. And I think that it's just at some point there has to be an open standard so that everyone can play. And, you know, and I think that SDVOE is actually, you know, really done a great job of reducing the cost of 10 gigabit in terms of like endpoint device cost, and done a really good job of making that as affordable as you really can make it. But I think when you look at codec efficiency and latency related to codecs, and you give customers kind of the ability to kind of turn that dial to where they want to, and you ask them, do you want to put 4 video signals down this pipe or do you want to put 1? You know, and they kind of start to look at the signal noise ratio and they look at the visual quality of the difference, and you know how that usually ends up. So
yeah. Well, the reason I ask that is it seems to me the adopters of SDVOE are more inclined to adopt this as their 1 gig alternative, because by adopting SDVOE in the first place, you're interested in that being part of an ecosystem approach rather than a one-off product approach, which is the direction that, for example, Crestron has gone, is that it only works with other Crestron MVX systems, and Extron and those have gone. So if you have your 10 gig SDVOE and your 1 gig Ames Alliance options, it seems logical that a lot of the 10 gig SDVOE companies would adopt this as their 1 gig option.
Yeah, it does in a way, but so here's where it kind of breaks down a bit. So like, you know, we have the ME10, which is a 1 gig product, right? Mm-hmm. The let's say that a company like Matnica or like a company like Matrox or one of the other people out there that are making this equipment makes a version that, let's call it like a 5 gig or a 2.5 gig version, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I can get even better quality, you know, and now I have a little more headroom for USB, and or they make a 5 gig version or they make a 10 gig version, right? And now I'm using the same API. I've got a RESTful API that gives me discovery and connection management and other features that I have. And, you know, it just from a development standpoint and from a platform standpoint, I have to have a reason to maintain two different technologies like that. And so you can kind of see a coexistence in the beginning, but you know, there's an awful lot of SMPTE 2110 stuff out there now that works with uncompressed and works on 10 gig. And
so does that mean we're going to see a lot of the broadcast companies come into the industry offering 1 gig solutions?
Absolutely.
That's where the traction's going to come, it sounds
Right. And it's also going to come also from IT as well.
So give me some companies, give me some brands that we should be watching for.
Well, I mean,
are you not allowed to?
Well, I mean, so I'm just, you know, a lot of the ones you already know, you know, I mean, Sony, you know, Sony's very involved, Panasonic's involved. I'm thinking of Panasonic showed a really interesting switcher product.
For esports, yeah,
the Panasonic
product, the media server product, I forget what they're calling
I can't remember the name of it. I was looking at a very prototypey product that was a switcher, and you know, it was all based on SMPTE 2110, but the market that, you know, they were talking about was the Pro AV market, and then there's others, you know, there's others as well. But I think what's happening is that because of the distributed nature of IP, you know, it gives us so many more opportunities for integration in different markets. And these content providers and all these manufacturers and everybody involved in, you know, the world of NAB wants to be everywhere, and everywhere includes Pro AV. It also includes consumer and YouTube markets and, you know, other things like that, right? So
yeah, that brings me to my other question about it, is that what can you use the technology that you've created and also go out H.264?
Sure, right. In fact, IPMX really defines right now that JPEG XSL be the, you know, the sort of the first codec on there, right? But we all know and all expect and have you know, openly admit that H.265, you know, you know, are definitely part of that. Also having a WAN profile, Wi-Fi profile, you know, those kinds of things are, you know, in, not, I won't say on the roadmap, but they're definitely on, you know, sort of in our orbit. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm very interested in all of this because I'm, you know, number one, I'm a techie kind of nerdy guy, but also I'm kind of interested to see, because this is the future of our industry, is moving signals across the network. So I'm very interested to see who does what and how they're doing it. I'm very curious about it all.
Right. I mean, you know, remember the day you woke up and all of a sudden, like, there were no cash registers and suddenly there were iPads everywhere and you were just waving your phone in front of it. You know, we haven't had that. That's not the experience we've had, right? We have the technology. We have this thing called AV over IP, and it does it all over IP like you'd think it would, but it hasn't really like given us, any of us, this like, oh my gosh, we're all doing it this way now kind of moment, right?
Right.
And I think I'm not saying that like all of a sudden we're standards based and then, you know, that will happen, but I think that, but that's what we're headed for. And
yeah,
I think that like, I mean, Gary, I remember you when we were talking about digital signage 100 years ago, right?
And tightrope. You know, you were at tightrope.
Right. And digital signage was like this new thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, but we all did business the same way.
You know? Right.
Yeah. It didn't really like really change the way, you know, the world works, but I really think this will. I really think that, that we're, you know, not 18 months away from a really huge seismic shift in how AV is done.
Well, I tend to agree with you. Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I think, you know, I think, interestingly enough, one thing that might help you quite a bit is COVID-19, because we had an industry where there was a lot of ability to just kind of throw anything out there and see what stuck. And now I think people are going to be more careful in the way they're buying things for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you talk about a standard, especially if you can pull it off, meaning you can get everyone to say this is going to be the standard, you're going to have rapid adoption. So I'm very curious about all this. And you have I'll link your profile on LinkedIn in this podcast, because I think if people look at your background, they're going to see that you have the ability to pull something like this off. So I'm very curious about it. Very impressed with your history in the industry. We've known each other
Yeah, it's not just me though. I have to say, I mean, I am amongst giants, and in when I'm there, I'm a small guy, you know. But I appreciate you calling me up. But I have to say that Dave Schipini and Andy Warman and some of the other guys that I work with in Ames and in other organizations have been doing some fantastic work for more than 10 years now. So,
well, I'm gonna make sure that people know who you are by linking your LinkedIn profile in this podcast. Also, Macnica, big company. They're not as well known in the U.S. as they are in the pro AV market, as they are in the broadcast market. But you're about to know a lot about them. Of course, the Ames Alliance as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrew, I appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Thank you very much for your time today. And stay safe and sane.
Yeah, we did it. We shot a few different videos at ISE, and I did an interview where I showed the chip at ISE. So take a look at those. Go to ravepubs.com/ISE2020. Type in Macnica, MACNICA, in the video search window. You'll find those. Everyone, thanks for listening. Have a great day.